Hello and welcome to the East Point Community Church Podcast with Pastor Chris Billiter. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon.
So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 26 today. Matthew 26, and as you turn there, I'm going to tell you something. I've done a decent job, I'm pretty proud of myself, because organization is not always my great strength, right, of going in pretty much chronological order here. That's going to be a little bit different between today and next week. It's purely selfish. I didn't want to be gone when we did communion. I wanted to be here. So Caleb's going to be preaching from John on the high priestly prayer that Jesus prays leading into his crucifixion next week. And today we are going to look at what exactly happened that night when Jesus gathered with his disciples to celebrate the Passover meal. So we're going to dig into what that was about and then how Jesus kind of turns that on its head and says, now this is something new. And now this is something different. That ultimately shows us how he is the fulfillment of everything that Israel was promised. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to jump right in. We got a little bit of ground to cover today. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 17. It says this, now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? So you've got a couple of things. You've got the unleavened bread, and then they ask, where are we going to celebrate the Passover? These things are historical celebrations of what God did for the people of Israel. The unleavened bread speaks to the speed at which the people of God had to leave Egypt, and Passover speaks to when God did this amazing thing. See, God was using Moses to try to convince Pharaoh to let the people go, to let the people of Israel free from bondage, free from slavery. And God was using Moses to do all these things. And ultimately, God sends what the Bible refers to as the death angel. And the Israelites are told, take a spotless lamb and sacrifice it and wipe the blood of the lamb on your doorpost. And when you do that, death will pass over your house. And it took such a horrendous occasion for the heart of Pharaoh to at least be temporarily broken enough to let the people go. But in this, we see this amazing miracle of God. That because of the shed blood of the lamb, those that should have died lived. Because of the shed blood of the lamb, those that should have died lived. So naturally, this was something that would be celebrated for generations to come. The Passover meal was both a celebration and a reminder. A reminder of God's faithfulness to Israel and a celebration of his grace and mercy over them. So it was a natural question. It's this time of year. Hey, Jesus, where are we going to go set up the Passover meal? And in verse 18, he said, go into the city to a certain man. A certain man, and say to him, if you look at the language a little bit there, it can almost be understood, go and find so-and-so. Go and find so-and-so, someone not important, but you'll find this certain person and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. My time is at hand. Through our course of study these past months, looking through all four Gospels and kind of hitting these major points of Jesus' life and ministry, we see that there is an unfolding that's happening. Jesus is slowly at first showing the world who he is and the work that he is here to do. He starts doing miracles. He heals people. He raises people from the dead. And for a while, it's, hey, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody. Last week, we looked at like, okay, the triumphal entry, what we often celebrate on Palm Sunday, is all gloves are off. They're calling me king. They're calling me Lord. They're calling me the Messiah. And Jesus is like, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it. There's no, hey, shh. There's no, oh no, you got the wrong guy. Jesus fully acknowledges and accepts the people's understanding of who he is. So all this has kind of been building up to this point. Now Jesus says, you tell him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. Jesus knows that everything that he has been building up to in his life and ministry is about to come to its culmination. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And in verse 19, the disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. They went and they found the so-and-so, they found the certain man, and it unfolded just like he said, and they set up. Any of y'all ever been a part of a Seder meal? Anybody ever seen? So it's a kind of a recreation of what a Jewish Passover meal would look like. And if you've been that, you understand that there were certain ways that it's set up. It had to involve certain things, certain timing and everything else. So they go and get everything ready. And in verse 20, when it was evening, he reclined at the table with the 12. It was common for that to be kind of the normal eating position, seated, reclined at a table, and he's there with the 12 that had seen so much, the 12 that had been with him for his entire ministry, the 12 that were closest to him. And you can imagine the scene. Everyone's like, all right, this is big. This is good. He said his time is at hand. So whatever's about to happen, and please remember that disciples were a little sometimes slow to understand things. It's about to go down. So everyone's just having a nice meal. And then Jesus, whoo. Verse 21. As they were eating, he said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Well, that'll ruin your dinner supper real quick. You know, your dinner party real quick. That'll be like, oh, whoa. Y'all ever had a family meal and suddenly someone that's usually the uncle. If you don't know who the uncle is, it's probably you. Says something and you're just like, oh, well, that was nice while it lasted. Jesus just drops a bomb on them. Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Verse 22, and they were sorrowful. And they began to say to him, one after another, is it I, Lord? Is it I? Again, sometimes we get so familiar with the story that we lose sight of the heaviness of the moment. These are the 12 that have given up everything to follow Jesus. These are the 12 that have seen him do amazing things. These are the 12 that are ready to walk alongside him as he ushers the kingdom of God in, whatever that's going to look like. And now Jesus is saying, one of you is going to betray me. So they start asking, is it I? Like, I mean, it's not me, right, Jesus? Like, not I. I couldn't possibly do that. And they kind of go around the table or back and forth. It's not me, right? It's not me, right? Verse 23, Jesus answered, he who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. It's a picture of a shared bread bowl, maybe something similar to what we have. Although probably not as well crafted, Mr. Bennett Black back there, who made these bread bowls by hand. But you know, it was a common custom for them to just have a communal bread bowl that everyone shared. And so when Jesus says this, he says, "Yeah, it's one of you, one that has been so close to me that we've eaten together, we've shared bread together. He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me." In verse 24, and this is so important, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. Once again, Jesus uses Son of Man language, which is a reminder that Jesus had an understanding that he was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy of the Messiah who would come. So again, you can say, I like the teachings and ethics and morality of Jesus. I just don't think he was the Son of God. That's your right to say. It's just completely foreign to the four Gospels. It's not there. So when Jesus says stuff like this, What you're saying is, well, I'm going to take this stuff over here that Jesus said. I'm just going to reject this other stuff that Jesus clearly says. He uses Son of Man language, and it says, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. So Jesus knew that this was why he came. This was what was prophesied about him. We have the suffering servant in Isaiah. By his wounds we are healed. We have so many things that point to this moment that would come. So Jesus is saying, like, hey, I'm going where I'm supposed to go. The path that I'm on is the path that I'm supposed to be on. So we have this idea that this is God's plan. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. And I'm going to take 30 seconds to say something real quick that could just open a whole can of worms that I'm going to refuse to open right now, especially living in this city. Here's just a wonderful reminder that God has plans and ordains things to happen that we can trust in, that we can find rest in, and that we're responsible for the choices that we make. Jesus says, hey, this is where I'm supposed to be, but also the one that betrays me, woe to him. It would have been better for that man had he not been born. So that's the statement, right? That's the, oh my gosh, statement. And then there's this, verse 25. Judas, I love the note, who would betray him? Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? And again, this is why it's good for everyone that I'm not Jesus. Because I mean, sassy Jesus would have come out, right? Like, wait, you know good and well it's you. What? The nerve, sir. What is wrong with you, sir? You've already started this. How dare you ask me that when you know good and well? But that's not what Jesus does, because he's Jesus, right? He said to him in this like vague, weird response, you have said so. Vague enough probably for the disciples, probably not even to fully comprehend what's happened, but strong enough for Judas to know that Jesus knows. That Jesus knows. It would have been better for the one that would betray the Son of Man not to be born. It's not I, is it, Lord? I know it's you. I know it's you. And then we go to this scene. Without break. Apparently without anyone leaving the table. And we see both the patience and grace of Jesus. Not yelling and screaming, but serving. Verse 26. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. I was doing just a little bit of reading this week on these verses, and you know, there is, and I know some of y'all come from this background, those of the Catholic tradition believe like this is to be understood literally, right? Literally, that somehow this becomes the physical body of Christ. That's not where we are as Protestants in general, and especially as Baptists. You know, so much of Jesus' teaching is figurative in its language, right? One of the commentators I was reading said, hey, look, when Jesus said, I am the door or I am the gate, no one goes to him and expects to find hinges, right? That so much of Jesus' teaching about himself is figurative. And we believe very much in the power and presence of God at the communion table. But we believe that not because we believe that this is physically the body of Christ, but we believe that in every believer in Jesus dwells the Holy Spirit of God. And he is here today, not because of this, but because he is with us wherever we go. But Jesus takes this bread and he says, after breaking it, take, eat. This is my body. Again, in the background here is this idea of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of God's provision of bread, God's provision of heavenly bread, God's provision of manna. Jesus himself said, I am the what? Bread of life. Jesus is saying, I am God's ultimate provision of life for you. So when you take this, you are understanding this to be receiving the good gift of God in giving us his son, Jesus Christ. Take, eat. This is my body. Take, eat. I am the bread of life. Take, eat. And in verse 27, he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to, them, saying, drink of it, all of you. All of you. He tells all the disciples to drink of it. Why? Verse 28, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So the feast of the Passover, the celebration of the Passover, is to celebrate how the shed blood of a lamb caused those that should have died to live. And Jesus takes the cup and he says, this is my blood. Now, notice that Jesus didn't, and I'm not trying to be graphic here, in that moment he didn't cut himself. He didn't literally pour out his blood. He's saying, this cup represents the blood, my blood of the covenant. Some of the Gospels have the word new covenant. What's a covenant? It's a promise between two parties. Here, the promise is between God and men. That because of the poured out shed blood of the Lamb of God, let's go back to the very beginning of this sermon series. When John the Baptist sees Jesus, what's he say? Behold, the what? Lamb of God. Who what? Takes away the sins of the world. Jesus is saying, I am that lamb, and this is how I will take away the sins of the world. Just as the blood of the lamb at Passover caused those who should have died to live, my blood, the blood of the Lamb of God, will cause those who deserve to die to live. His shed blood would cover our sins. It would be poured out, not so that we would not sin anymore, but because we sin, we need forgiveness. The shed, poured out blood of Jesus is the means by which we are forgiven. We see this in Scripture. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no, if you're old school, remission of sin. No forgiveness of sin. The entire Old Testament sacrificial system, I love that our kids are learning about. You may be like, why do the kids need to know about a tabernacle? Why do they need to know about sacrifice? Because as Job prayed, it's all pointing to Jesus. He would be the once and for all sacrifice. It would be his blood that would mean we no longer have to go and make these small sacrifices. His sacrifice of his body and blood and very life would be sufficient for all who would believe to be forgiven. But again, look at this. When we understand the mission of Jesus, this blood, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many so that they could have good ethical moral teachings. It's not why Jesus was crucified. He was crucified because we were in desperate need of our sins to be forgiven. Everyone. Every single one of us has this great need. And Jesus meets that need. And in verse 29, he says this, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. There's always a looking forward to one day we will share this meal with Jesus. We will celebrate in our heavenly home with Jesus. We both look back as we come to the communion table and remember what Jesus accomplished for us, and we look ahead so that all those who have trusted in Christ, who have believed that he is Lord, who have said, my life is yours, forgive me of my sin, who have trusted him, would one day, we can look forward knowing that one day we will see him and we will share a meal with him. This is the hope of every believer, that because of what Jesus accomplished through his broken body and shed blood, we can be forgiven. And because we are forgiven, we are accepted by God. Not because of how good we are, but because of what Christ accomplished for us through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. So today we're going to celebrate that. We're going to look back and remember, and we're going to look ahead and be thankful. So in just a moment, and I'm going to ask Eduardo if he would help me out today. Eduardo's going to be over here to my left. I'm going to be right here. Kent, I think, is going to be playing in the background. And in just a moment, we're going to invite you to come. So who's this for? It's for anyone who has trusted in Jesus, who has said, Jesus, you are my Lord. You've asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, and you put your faith in him. We say this is for baptized believers, those that have followed through that commitment of saying Jesus is Lord by showing the world that through the outside act of baptism. It's okay if you're from another church. We're going to trust that you understand what's happening here. But if you're not ready, let me encourage you to sit. And there's no judgment. There's no, oh my gosh. But sit and pray and ask God, show me what I need to do in response to what I've heard. Show me what I need to do to trust in Jesus. But in just a second, we're going to invite you up. Some will come down this aisle and you will exit that way. Others will come down that aisle and exit that way. And you'll take the bread, a piece of the bread, which represents the broken body of Christ. We'll talk more about what that looked like in a couple weeks. You'll take a piece and then you will place it in the cup, which represents the shed blood, the new covenant that Jesus gave his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. And as you do, be thankful. Be thankful for what he's done and be thankful that one day you'll see him and share a meal with him again. Okay? Let's pray together. Father God, as we look back and celebrate, we ask that you would allow us to pause and reflect, God, to seek acknowledgement of sin that we may have in our heart and committed against someone. God, we pray that if there's someone that is angry at someone else, that they would go and seek reconciliation before they even come to this table. But Lord, we pray that as we remember and as we look ahead, you would open our eyes to the wonderful, amazing grace that you have shown us through your Son. We pray that if there are those that have yet to believe, not in a self-created version of Jesus, but in the Jesus that revealed himself through Scripture, we pray that today would be that day. That they would understand that, yes, even they need forgiveness, because we all do. And that they would understand that Jesus is the way that they can be made right with you. Father, move in this time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Feel free to take a moment, and then when you're ready, come and receive the elements. Team back there. Let me try that again. I promise you, even though that happened 2,000 plus years ago now, what Jesus accomplished will change your life today. So if you have yet to trust that Jesus is all that he said he is, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the King, the Savior, then our prayer today is that you would believe that you would believe that Jesus is the Lamb of God who shed blood, takes away the sins of the world. That you would believe that his shed blood and his resurrection means that your sins can be forgiven. And if you don't know that and you have questions about that, or maybe today's the first time you're like, yes, I believe, help me. As we sing this last song, I'll be standing in the back. If you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus, then come ask. It's okay to have questions. He's big enough for them. If you're just ready and you're like, I just need Jesus to save me and forgive me, then come. Don't come talk to me because there's magic in me. There's not. But I'd love to celebrate with you. And I'd love to guide you in it. Maybe you've been coming here for a while and you're like, I want these to be my people. I want to walk through life serving the Lord and being encouraged to follow the Lord with these people, and I want to join East Point. If that's you, I'd love to talk to you about that as well. As we close today, we're going to close in a final song. And if you don't need to move, if there's nothing else going on in your life, then just sing with a grateful heart today for all that Christ has done for you. Father God, move in this time. Help us to praise you and worship you for all that you are. Help those that need to follow you and to trust in Christ, do that today. We pray all this in the wonderful, powerful, holy, mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing together.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. If you're in the Louisville area, we would love to see you in person at our weekly service, Sundays at 10 a.m. In the meantime, grace and peace, and we hope you'll join us again soon.